This is Tanya Lynn with the Sistership Circle podcast. From spirituality, sexuality, and sisterhood to business, relationships, contribution, and creativity, the Sistership Circle podcast introduces a new model of feminine leadership where women get real and vulnerable about it all. Tune in for authentic advice that will empower you to be bold, beautiful, and brilliant as your true self.
I'm so excited for us to talk, Amanda, because I have been hearing through the grapevine about some of your amazing work out in Ireland, and it's been a while since we've connected about it. So for those of you tuning in, Amanda and I were really close back. I mean, it's been such a long time since we've known each other, 2010, and... Okay.
Well, before, it was
2010.
That's when you moved to San Diego?
Yeah, that's when we met. Yeah.
Okay. All right. She knows.
Yeah. And then you moved to Ireland, and I'd love for you to start and share. I heard that you went through a pretty amazing priestess training, like legit. Has been passed down from ancient times in Ireland. So can we please start with that?
Because that is just dive right in. And I do want a little disclaimer, and because I just told Tanya offline, I'm going to tell you all offline, I was having the most magical day with my three-year-old, my six-year-old, and actually a couple other little friends that I took to this beautiful forest, because I live at the base of a sacred mountain here in Ireland, and there's forests all around. And right now I'm looking out over rolling green hills, and there's a raven right outside the window. But anyway, so here I am having this magical afternoon in the forest, and then my son disappears. So I was actually going with our dog and my dad, and everybody was going to come. But luckily I found him. I was going to call or just message and say, I've lost my son in the forest. I can't come for the interview, but here I am, and he's happy and home. And so anyway, that's okay. I just wanted to share that.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you said that, because I mean, come on, what a problem to have. My son's lost in a sacred forest in Ireland. I mean, like,
well, you know, who does that? No, but here's the thing. That's one thing one of a bazillion things I love living over here, because really, like, he has a lot of freedom. Before, he used to be like, be careful of the car, you know, like, because right there was the road. And now, like, literally I can see him for miles when he's running the fields or up the forest, and I do give him freedom. But this was like, okay, where are you? You can't hear me, I can't hear you, and now I'm going in every direction, I still can't. So, but what was amazing is I just like stopped, and I like just took a breath, and I tuned in with him, because we're so connected. And then all of a sudden, the raven was above me, and he flew down this way, and then he came back and he flew down that way, and I was like, okay, thanks raven. And I went down the bank, and that's where I found him, down the base of the bank. So we're always getting guided, you know.
Well, I mean, that's what this work is all about, right? Like, in the actual moments where we're in crisis or we're dealing with a circumstance, that's when we draw upon our sacred powers from doing the priestess work, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so as you know, I'm born and raised here, lived in America for 18 years. And then when I was pregnant with my daughter, you know, she's now 3 and a half, but Seth and I had chatted on and off about moving back, but you know how everything shifts when you have children. And when she was in my belly, it was like, it's time to go back. It's time to go back. And then one of my girlfriends who really wanted me to stay there was like, you don't make any big life decisions when you're pregnant, you're staying here. So I was like, okay. And then as soon as she was born, she was like, we're going now. Like, she's like got that warrior priestess energy. So anyway, here we are back. And I was back about a week, and I knew there's a number of reasons to be here, but one of them was clearly this training. So you know what it's like when you've got little ones and you're running your own business, and then it's like, okay, I'm going to take a 2-year training. Okay. You know? So, it was, perfect because it was just down the street. And it was basically how it worked is, you know, and I would love to talk about it if it's something you want to talk about, but the Celtic Wheel. So basically, there's a castle up the road from me, and the entire basement of the castle is dedicated to the work of the goddess, of the priestess. And there's a sacred well, St. Bridget's sacred well in the basement of the castle. So basically this sacred site was built around this well being here. So basically part of the training is, you know, going and doing ceremony on all the 8 points of the calendar, doing that. But then also we would basically meet twice a month for this deep work. And these women, I am just so grateful. They're what we would call in Ireland banfasa. So it's like they would use the term priestess, but banfasa, ban is like the word for goddess or for woman in Gaelic, and then fasa, like woman of kind of spirit basically. So these women were like born from lineage of this. So it's really such an honor and privilege to have gone through it. And you know, both of us have been doing this kind of work and of being service and of being grounded in this world, but being connected with other worlds. But this training took it to a whole nother level, you know? And I would say one of the main works of the priestess is to do your inner work, you know? And it was interesting because coming back here, it was like, okay, you know, I did so much work. I mean, I started my spiritual path 20 years ago and, you're always uncovering layers, aren't you? And then you have kids and then you find more layers and then, you know, but it really brought me to my, like, to the core of, like, why am I here? What am I here to do? You know, and are you willing to go through this darkness? You know, are you willing to look at every single wound possible in order to really find that inner strength? And I actually was halfway through the whole course and I really was just, I had so much going on and I was like at this crossroads where I was like, am I going to complete this or not? And I spoke with the priestess I was training with. She goes, well, this is really what happens with the priestess. You're at this crossroads and you have to decide if you're able to dig deep and make this happen. So I completed, I got ordained in July and it was amazing. So tell me what you want to know. I want to share. So
oh, there's so many things, but I really want to dig. I want to get vulnerable. Let's roll up our sleeves.
You never want to get vulnerable. You're so surface level.
So what was the number one deepest, darkest thing that you had to go through?
Oh, there was a number of things, but for me, and this may not seem like a big deal to you or whatever, but it really was acceptance, self-acceptance to such a level that I would go there because it was held at her house. The entire second floor of the house is dedicated to the goddess. It's a temple. And so we would go to her house and we'd meet there. It's at the top of a hill. And I would drive in there going, they're not going to let me in the door. They don't even want me there. Like, they're probably just going to like not open the door to me, to that kind of like a wound that I am so not accepted that no. They're not even going to let me in.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
I can relate.
Yeah.
I can very much relate, just feeling like an outcast. I think, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I would say so many of the women listening to this right now probably deal with that, right? Where, I mean, isn't that why we create Circle, is so that we do belong? I mean, that's the reason why I do the work that I do. It's because even no matter how many people I was connected to, I always struggle with wondering if people really like me, if they really accept me, if they really want me there. Every time, you know, wouldn't get an invitation to something, would wonder what's wrong with me, exclude, you know, feeling excluded, all that. So I really resonate with that. Mm. It sounds like now you realize that you are accepted because you've accepted yourself.
Yeah, basically. Mm. And I think that it was just took it to another level coming home to somewhere, you know, where you're born and you're raised and all the inner child stuff. And, you know, and then I left when I was 20 and I did a lot of healing, but there's something different about when you come back and you come back onto the land and like the land is, that's the thing about the land here. It is so deep that, you know, because I lead these journeys around Ireland and, you know, it's kind of like, I don't actually do a huge amount of marketing or anything. It's just like on a soul level, people just know I'm meant to be there. I'm meant to go to these sites. I'm meant to go to this land. And so they will have an intention. Like, I want to release these old wounds. I want to release these old stories, these old patterns. And here's the truth. You come here with those intentions, you're not getting back on the plane with those. Like, the land will literally have you down on your knees. Like, these sites, I mean, there's these energy lines leading through these sites. Most of the sites here are older than the pyramids in Egypt, you know? And so it's like the power, and our ancestors for thousands and thousands of years have performed ceremony and ritual in these places. So it's like when you visit them with intention, doing your ceremony, connecting with the land, connecting with these energies, connecting with the other worlds, magic happens. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. I mean, when I went to Avalon in July.
Yeah. I was just there in June. We miss each other by a few weeks.
I know. Yeah. But I would feel like I was transported through time. Do you have that experience when you do the ceremony on the land here?
I'm getting chills right there.
Yeah.
First of all, just every morning, you know, I'm out in the forest. Like, that's, you know, everyone's got their non-negotiable. Mine is, I get out in the forest and I do ancient practices. One is called tree whispering, which I'm so grateful for, because, you know, when we do the work that we do, we of course ground and, you know, protect our energy, but like, we're empaths, you know? And so as much as you ground and everything, there's still, when you're hearing, you know, just experiences that people are having, where does that go? So I have a beautiful practice that I do, and it's hundreds of years it's done here, but literally I go into the forest and there's these like 500 year old oak trees, and I'll go up to the trees, and what I'll do is I'll just first of all put all my chakras right on the tree. I'll wrap my arms around the tree. And what's really amazing is when I put my third eye against the tree, it's like thousands of books and pages going like this. And it's just like downloads of all this wisdom.
Wow.
And then like, you just feel that down through your whole energy body. And if you think about trees, the roots are going deep, deep down to the earth. These trees, some of these trees, I mean, earth itself is 4 billion years, but like, these trees can be anywhere from 500 to 1,000 years old, and then they reach up to the light. So they're completely connected with, you know, Gaia, Mother Earth, and Source. And so then what I'll just do is I'll just ask the tree, is it okay if I share? And the tree, you know, it's so connected, it's constantly moving energy. So I'll just like whisper into the tree whatever I need to release. And then you just feel like, so renewed. And like, of course, you get the oxygen, you're so grounded, you're connected with nature. And literally, when I'm going through the forest, I'm literally orgasming. You know what I mean? So it's like, just, and there's a sacred well right behind my house here. And it first of all comes off the mountain, and then it's got a spring, it's got bubbles of water, and this healing, it's got a hawthorn tree, which is known as the Celtic tree of the fairies here, of the fairy realm. And people come from all over the world, and they'll bring people they want to bring healing to. And some people are too sick to make it here, so they'll tie something of people, and they'll either bring some of the water back, or people will come and like put whatever they need to heal into the water. So there's one right behind the house, and I'll visit that daily. And sometimes I'll strip off and get in it. I'll do ceremony with it. I'll bring back and have a bath, and I'll cleanse my house with it, cleanse my energy field. So, but you know what I believe? Like, I believe that I'm so grateful to live here in a country where there's over 30,000 sacred sites. That's how many sacred sites, between stone circles, standing stones, cairns. You know, the cairns are these, you can actually go inside, fairy realms, ring forts, like all these sacred sites. We've over 30,000, but I do believe that every single blade of grass is sacred, because it's all the earth, and it's all sacred. And every drop of water is sacred. All you have to do is gather rainwater and do your own prayer over it, and then you've got sacred water. You know what I mean? Like, I think it is magical here, but I think it's just as much magic where everybody lives. And everybody has access to a tree around them, whether it's in their yard or at a park close by, or somewhere, I'm betting they're going to find a tree within a 20-minute drive. You know what I mean? So we all have access to, even if you're near the beach, you can jump in the ocean with the salt water. That's so cleansing right there, you know?
Mm. Mm. I was just feeling a lot of, this feeling in my heart when you said about the just aligning your chakras with the tree and just hugging the tree. I felt it, just the power of that. And wow. Tell us a little bit about the Celtic wheel.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, right now, you know, we just had autumn equinox, mm-hmm. and we would obviously it's the autumn equinox, but we also call it Mabun, which is after the god of light. We just did a ceremony up at the Clonegal Castle that I've been telling you about. And what we do is we do these mystery plays where we reenact the ancient mythology of the gods and the goddesses. So in this mystery play that we did, I was Madron, who is the Celtic goddess of life. And I was the mother of Mabun. So we were kind of going back and forth talking about, like, okay, so here we are moving into this time of reflection, and definitely on this side of the world, you know, the days are getting, actually autumn equinox is even day to night. So it's like representing balance and equality in our masculine and feminine, our night and light and our dark and everything. But then it's also saying, you know, we're about to go into this darker time of the year, and nature models that so beautifully for us here. It's just like, all the leaves are, the trees are letting go of their leaves. And it's a time of, what are you willing to let go of? You know, it's like nature models everything for us. You know, the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom are like hibernating, they're gathering their nuts, the squirrels, you know, to go into hibernation. So it's like, they're willing to take that time to kind of pause and go inwards. And then, and I did find that when I was living in San Diego, that was a little more challenging for me, because it's like, beautiful weather every single day and you don't quite have the season, so you don't actually pause. Like, we were snowed in for 2 weeks in February. I had no choice but to go inwards. Oh my god, like, it was magical for the first few days, but then it's like, wow, we're getting towards the end of that 2 week mark, like, your stuff comes up, you know. It's like, you are housebound. Like, if we stepped outside, my daughter would fall into the snow, like, I mean, like, into a hole. So it's amazing how the land is like, no, you're going to be still, you're going to pause, you're going to reflect, you're going to go inwards, and you don't have a choice in this, you know. So that's Mother Earth right there. But so the next, what we're going to Samhain, you know, you could also call Halloween. And so there's 8 points, and then which is to do with the Morrigan. You don't want to be messing with the Morrigan. She is the goddess of rebirth, death, and rebirth. And, you know, but what's interesting about the Celtic wheel, that's actually the beginning of the wheel, because what we believe is you've got to go inwards first in order to go out, right? So then December, anywhere between the 20th and 22nd, we go into the darkness. We got our winter solstice. And that's really got to do with the Celtic goddess that we talk about. Her name is Kaliak, and she's very similar to like Kali or Durga. And then there's another Irish goddess, her name is Maka. Now, you know, like, if you start chanting the Durga chant or the Kali chant, like, things are going to get, you know, things are going to get a bit, things are going to come up for you. And so that, if you're willing to work with the goddess and that darkness, like, you're gonna stumble upon things in the darkness that need to be brought up, you know. So I really, really believe in modeling nature, modeling what the moon cycle, you know, for all of us, when we use it, because we are that moon cycle, you know. It's like, we got the same amount of water in our body as there is on the earth. And the moon, you know what it does with the tides and the full moons and new moons. It's doing the same with our bodies, you know. So it's like, I have a calendar up. My husband insisted that we have a calendar. The calendar's not just for me, it's for him. So he knows, okay, cool, it's coming up to cold days. And he wants to honor me, and he also wants to know for his own sanity, you know. And I think it's so beautiful that we have this beautiful phase, and like, it's not that we're unpredictable, but we have all these beautiful facets of who we are. And so, you know, in where we are in our moon cycle of when we can just take on the world. And then some days we just got to go in and be in the forest or be in our bed or whatever it is that we feel like, you know. And so I just think everything is for us to see in nature. And back in Irish time, like the Druids, have you heard of the Druids, right? So they really, really just live by, you know, their God is the sun and is, you know, whereas the priestess will more be connected with the other worlds. But if you look at it, then we come into spring, the trees start blossoming, and then that's our time to start coming back out again. And just how it models that is just, it's just magical. They aren't rushing to do anything. The trees aren't like, oh my gosh, we gotta get our blossoms out. We better get on with this. Just like, and they're not trying to prove anything. They're not like, you know, it's just they're growing towards the light and they're making space for each other. And if we could just model ourselves so much and just witness nature and allow ourselves to be that, to root into ground, to reach for the light, to, you know, to just breathe. And with trees as well, you watch this because we get incredible windstorms here as well. And, you know, it's like we get like 100 mile an hour wind. So it's like when you watch the trees with the wind, the ones that are just like willing to go, like they don't break. It's the ones that are like, no, I can't take this change. Where they just snap, you know? And it's like, the more that we are connected to the rhythms of nature, the rhythms of our body, just the more we can just be in that divine flow.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now, who do you do these mystery plays with?
With the priestess that I went through the training with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we, and actually we were doing this the whole, like 18 months of the training, like that was one of the solid things we had to do. Everything, we would show up, and it wasn't just Celtic goddesses, it was goddesses all over the world, like Isis and Hathor or any of the goddesses, and we would go back into the mythology. It was always so mind-blowing, the parts that you would get, because it was just like,
you got exactly what you were supposed to get,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was like one time I was, I think it was the Hathor one, and she had this wet nurse, you know, somebody that would come in and breastfeed their baby, but she actually ended up being like a white witch. And then the mom came into the room, and the white witch was breastfeeding, but also practicing like white magic. The baby, and it was just like when I was born, I had so many breastfeeding issues with my son, and it was just like, oh my god, it was like so triggering in such a way. It was just like, oh, obviously we weren't doing white magic and all this, but it was just like reenacting. Sometimes it felt like past life soul level stuff, and then sometimes like ancient things happening that happen in your modern day life, you know what I mean? And just magnified in your face, where it was like, okay, I really need to heal this, you know. Anyway,
when you do this mystery play, how much are you preparing for it?
Zero.
Okay, so here's your role. You're just gonna show up on the day, and we're just gonna act this out.
No, not even. You show up on the day. They give you, you know, a 10-page piece of paper. You have 5 seconds to read it. And that's what's really interesting. Because first of all, when you go up into these temples, you're stepping into other realms. Like,
yep.
And you're in there. And then, like, what would be really interesting is, I honestly, here's the truth. I would read this 10 pages and I would just not have a clue what it was saying. It was just like gibberish, because it was all this ancient language. And then I would go up there, and then you're just in it, and you're just like it just moves through you. And so the other thing that you did a lot in the training was oracles. And, you know, we all know about meditating. We all know about journeying. We all know about even channeling, downloading. But what oracles are basically is you, whatever goddess, like the patron deity that came to me was Bridget. She's one of the Celtic goddesses of the fire, of the sun, but of many other things, actually of children and of the waters. And so she is my patron deity. And so basically what an oracle is it may not just be your patron deity, but a goddess is called in, and literally she enters your physical body and you channel her. You actually feel her entering, and then part of the homework that we had to do is do oracles. We just have to set up like a recorder, because you're not like consciously, you know, let me take notes here, you know.
Yeah.
And so basically you would channel all these messages and then she would leave and then you'd listen to your recording and be like, that's really cool.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so now you are leading retreats in Ireland. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. As well as, you know, I've been doing these retreats for over a decade and working with these sacred sites and leading ceremonies, you know, probably more like 15 years or so, but I feel like it's probably a whole different level now, you know?
Yeah. 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 And how has this shifted your feng shui business?
What's really interesting, and I don't know if I've ever told you kind of my connection with feng shui in such a way that, you know, I've grown up clearly connected with nature. I actually never wanted to sleep inside. Like my mom was like, come up and sleep in the bedroom, I'd bring in the rocks, the fountains, everything. But I'd much rather be sleeping out with the horses in the stables. That's just always been who I am. Moved to America 20 years ago, and everyone used to come into my house and be like, oh, you had your house feng shuied. And after about 10 people said to me, I was like, I've got to go find out what this stuff is all about. Like, feng what? I had never heard of it. So then, anyway, I found somewhere, I did a training, and then I decided I'm going to go to China. I'm going to go study with the masters. And so I went with a dear, dear sister of mine who since has passed 10 years ago of cancer, which again was one of those major transformational times in your life. But so her and I walked into the Temple of Heaven and the Forbidden City, and I walked in the gates, and you know when you get those chills, I call them goddess bumps, but this was like electricity, my hair was standing on end, and the whole time I was in there, people kept coming over and bowing to me, kissing me on the hand, asking for photos of me, like, and Claire was her name, she was like, what is going on? I was like, I do not know. And then a number of times when I was there, I would just go into the bathroom and just start like bawling from the depths of my soul. But you know, one of those when it's just like a soul thing and you're like, I'm not really sure, because this is an amazing trip, I'm having an amazing time, I'm not really sure. So I get back to America, this is nearly 20 years ago, and I was at a party and they're just having to do a palm reader there, and she's like, do you want me to read your palm? And I was like, yeah, that'd be great. So she puts her palm out, or put my palm out, and she's like, oh, you just came back from a far off land. And I was like, mm-hmm, that's right. And she was like, you were an emperor there and all the souls recognize you. But if you know the history of feng shui, the emperors that got the feng shui masters to build the Forbidden City and the Temple of Heaven, after they built it, they threw them all in prison and burnt all the materials because they didn't want the people to be empowered with the knowledge. So basically, I think I was the emperor, the one that threw them in the prison, burned the materials. And so part of my dharma, karma, is bringing feng shui back, teaching feng shui. And so I love feng shui. I love creating sacred space. I love teaching it. And, you know, I've been doing it 20 years, and sometimes I'm like, I'd like to just go into this, you know, priestess field. Like, and it's like, no, you have an agreement and you're staying teaching this. So I love it. And I think it's a soul agreement. And so how has it impacted? I mean, you know, for me, they're very integrated, because I feel that we create sacred space, but we all know that the sacred space is within us, right? And so I think that it's an inward outward thing. So the more that we heal and evolve and empower and, you know, all the things that we do internally, we can create that in our space. And the more that we create that in our space, the more that it supports us to do that internally as well. So I thought it was kind of like a big story to answer your question. Does that answer it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's magic. I mean, just, I had chills when you said, you know, it's your karma, yeah, to bring that back. And I just feel that you know, and just the integration of the two, you know, and your connection with the earth. So feng shui, priestessing, it like all really comes together.
Yeah. And I think sometimes I'm like, do they, are they? I mean, they're definitely both spiritual work and of the spirit and, you know, with the earth, but sometimes I'm like, you know, and I feel that way, but I know that I'm meant to do both kind of. I'm kind of do my best to kind of integrate them. Like in May, I'll do, I'm doing a land healing, land clearing, but it's also kind of like a priestess journey. So teaching people how to work with healing the land and seeing where there's geopathic stress and in people's homes. So in a way, that's how I kind of find that I integrate the pair of them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So I think we're going to actually come up on our time here.
Okay.
So if there was one thing that we haven't touched that you would just love to share, what feels most alive for you?
Sorry, we cut out a bit. What feels most alive for me?
Yeah. So like last topic for us to talk about. What do you feel called to talk about?
Mean just like in personal or something that I'm putting out there in the world or
anything?
Okay. What feels most alive? I think in this moment is truly, truly just, and I know you hear this word a lot, but like really, really being aligned with on the deepest, deepest part of yourself, who you are, and allowing yourself to live and breathe and talk and listen and everything from that place, and just let go of all the other shit that you're not, and that society, teachers, parents, whatever it is, and just like let yourself like be free in that way.
I really feel you embodying that. Just everything that you've shared, from your connection with nature to your priestess journey to, I mean, everything. It's you, your magic.
You're magic. I mean, I just have to tell you, and thank you, and I will receive that. But I just love reading every post. I'm just like, you are so freaking amazing with everything that I read. I mean, just how you write and you share, and you do that. You share like from the depths of your soul, and by doing that, you gift us freedom too. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm just noticing how there's some medicine of us talking today. So thank God that you found your son.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because, you know, I was with our mutual friend the other night, and there's like a next level for me that I'm going through, some kind of initiation, and it's slowly revealing itself. But I made a commitment that I would go tomorrow to my hometown of Poway and go out on my trail, like my sacred place, and do some clearing work and some releasing work. And there's something related to this core wounding with my brother. And so what you're saying about alignment and tree whispering, and there's some, like, I'm just like really receiving it for myself of like, there's something that's going to happen in my own ceremony tomorrow as I go through this, and in me coming into even a deeper alignment, you know. And yeah, so I can't even say anything else about it because I'm not even sure. It's just, it's slowly revealing itself, and I can't quite put words to it. I just know that something, I'll start to get more of it when I do ceremony on my own land. So
beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And you know, that is your land, and it's like one of the greatest healing that we can do is healing with the land, which is actually our ancestors, because really, like, it's like their hair, their bones, I mean, everything in that land, you know. And so it's like that's the ancestor. And actually, what's amazing, if you look at the tree, the roots are actually the ancestor. The trunk is our present day self. And actually, the branches are our next generation.
I love that.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you.
I'd love to hear about your ceremony, whatever you like to share.
Oh, I'll update you for sure. Yeah. So if anyone listening is interested in connecting with Amanda, it's amandacollins.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
We'll have that in the show notes. And yeah, maybe I'll be bringing a group out to do some work with you.
Can't you hear her whispering?
Yes, I do. In the perfect timing, it will happen. So yeah. Yeah, so thank you, Amanda.
Love you.
Love you.